SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I'm John Batchelor with my good colleagues Bill Raggio and Caleb Weiss from the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy to West Africa. We last spoke with Caleb very carefully about three states that have left democracy, left ECOWAS, left the reach of the United States, and my understanding of law enforcement for dictatorships or what appear to be military juntas. I'm speaking of Niger, Mali, and Burkina Faso. Since then, the President of the United States has mentioned Nigeria, which was the big state in ECOWAS that probably no longer exists. But in any event, as I understand the President's remarks, he was directing them to people who are capable of stopping, or Nigerian authorities who are capable of stopping, what the President described as massacres of Christians. This is a very large country, very rich country, but it's got pockets that are not participating in the oil wealth. And also it's divided into religions and prosperity. So it's the most populous state in all of Africa, Nigeria. It's got the largest army. And before ECOWAS broke up, it was seen as a bellwether of the future. Caleb, what can you tell us about the President's remarks about slaughtering of Christians, and second, with Nigeria troubled now by this internal conflict, does that mean that it's even less likely that Niger, Burkina Faso, and Mali can ever see stability again?
So I think on the first question, I think it should be caveated that this idea of Christian persecution in Nigeria is pretty nuanced. Now, he's talking about the massacres of Christians by Islamists, which absolutely is happening in the Northeast. The so-called Boko Haram and the Islamic State West Africa province, they do target Christians specifically because of their Christian faith. However, not all of the violence that is killing Christians is inherently religious. For instance, the farmer-herder conflict in central Nigeria, which kills more Christians than the jihadists, that has nothing to do with religion. That is between essentially the Christian farmers and the Muslim herders. But again, it's more about land, resource acquisition, and access to resources than anything else. And both sides are committing violence in that. Christians sometimes commit violence in the name of those issues. In the Northwest, you have banditry, where a lot of Christians are again being killed by bandits, but that has, again, nothing to do with religion. So when talking about Christian persecution in Nigeria, I think it's important for people to understand that to some respect it's happening against the jihadists. That is for sure true. But in other respects, where most Christians are dying, it has nothing to do with their religion. Now, Trump essentially talking about airstriking the jihadists, you know, you can have debate about this all day, whether or not that's going to be effective or not. But I think the wider point is somewhat accurate in that Nigeria state is failing to protect its citizens, not only from the jihadists, but also the farmer herder conflict, from banditry, from a whole host of other issues. The Nigerian state has done a poor job at that, of defending their own people. So I get the anger from the Christian community in the U.S. Over their, you know, their brethren being killed in Nigeria. But it's a little complicated, and I'm not really sure if, you know, Nigeria has been fighting the jihadists since 2009. They've been suffering from the farmer herder conflict since the 90s or even before. Not sure what limited airstrikes are going to do to sort of stop this. But on the wider point of Nigeria being sort of the so-called stable state in West Africa, it is and it isn't. Has the largest economy. It is still holding up ECOWAS. It could still pull its weight to some degree. But again, it has all these internal problems that, you know, prevent it from being what it could be. And I don't think Nigeria faces the same threat as the aforementioned states, Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger. They just don't. But Nigeria is facing a whole host of other issues that they aren't, which creates a wider issue for West Africa in general. So not only do you have banditry, you have the jihadists, which jihadists are moving from the Sahel into Nigeria. Now, Al-Qaeda's Group for Support of Islam and Muslims, or JNIM, which is based in Mali, they're now openly attacking in Nigeria. So from Mali to Nigeria, they have a giant united front, which is a huge concern. But again, this is all TBD. If Nigeria can get their act together, if they could work with the U.S. to figure out how to move forward to actually protect the citizens, I think that would be a step in the right direction.
Bill, we have about a minute for a quick question.
Quick question, Caleb. You mentioned that the Nigerian state has done a poor job of protecting its civilians. Couldn't that be said for many governments in Africa? And is it wise for the U.S. to interject itself into communal conflicts such as the we're witnessing in Nigeria?
We have a minute, Caleb.
100%. This happens in other African states. Various of them also do a very terrible job of protecting their citizens. I don't think the U.S. should get involved at all with communal conflicts or land-based conflicts, such as the farmer-herder violence. There's a case to be made against the jihadists, but the U.S. has already been involved against Boko Haram and ISWAP to limited degrees for several years, including sharing intelligence and whatnot. Not sure airstrikes are really going to do much against them when Nigeria has failed to do anything about them since 2009, and they've invested thousands of troops into the fight.
Caleb Weiss is a senior analyst for the Bridgeway Foundation. He's a senior fellow and an editor at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, where Bill Raggio and his colleagues keep the Long War Journal. And you can see Caleb's report, everybody's report, routinely on the Long War Journal. I highly recommend it.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.